Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we're welcoming in Mike Farron. He's a host at Major League Baseball on network radio, and he's also a proud Duhawk. So we'll get him in here, and we have to find out what a Duhawk is. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, I'm great, and I appreciate you shouting out my alma mater. I mean, you guys have often heard Harvard referred to as the Loris of the East, right?
Lawrence Duhawk?
Loris. L-O-R-A-S.
Yeah, nobody heard of that.
Where's that from? What state?
Dubuque, Iowa.
Okay. Dubuque, Iowa.
It's Iowa. It was either going to be that or a Canadian province.
See, I went to Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois, which isn't too far from where you were. Right. But I never heard of Loris.
I don't know Loris because I had buddies in college who were from Galesburg. I mean, yeah, Knox and Loris, different conferences.
Yeah. Right.
Loris plays in what's now called the Rivers Conference, but probably when you were in school was the Iowa Intercollegiate, which you may remember the IIAC. But, yeah,
no.
They were NAIA football for a long time. They've been D3 for 35 years now. And, I'm sure you guys probably played St. Ambrose, right?
Nope.
Augustana and all those schools. So.
No, Augustana was too big time for us. Augustana was that was big time football right there. Mike Farron.
How can anything be too big time for Knox?
Yeah. Mike Farron with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike, our Houston Astros, Buster Olney the other day, and I want to hear you rip Buster Olney, but he was asked whether or not the Astros were really a World Series contender, and he said no. I don't know how you can come to that conclusion with the way what we've seen with the Astros over these last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I didn't hear what Buster said, so I don't have the full context on why he said that. But listen, I mean, I think it's a really good Houston team. I mean, I'm surprised that the offense has been as robust as it has been just because of some of the defections they've had over the last couple of years in losing Correa and Springer. Now, Jeremy Tingey obviously has been great, and that has helped to mitigate, a significant amount of the loss of Correa. But this is a really deep, young pitching staff that's done it to this point without, Lance McCullers Jr. throwing a pitch. I think they have one of the best bullpens in the American League. And while the offense may not be filled with names in the bottom third of the lineup, may end up giving them a little bit of trouble down the stretch, they're a really good defensive team. So they don't give opponents extra outs. Yeah, I think they're a legit World Series contender. In fact, I don't think I should say this. I thought this was going to be a pretty good Yankees team coming into the year. I was probably higher on them than most. I don't think they're going to win 118 games. I think the difference between where the Yankees are and where the Astros are is pretty negligible. And that doesn't even count, the fact that they played well against them in New York and split the 4-game set and then won the game, last week against them. It doesn't even have to do with the head-to-head. I just think from a talent level, the Astros are fairly close to where the Yankees are.
Yeah, and it's also interesting because I think you have to look at – it's almost like in basketball where you can look at a roster, but really you get into seven-man rotation of a bench in a basketball series. In Major League Baseball, you really – I remember back in the day, and you'll remember too, the Arizona, when Arizona had their 2-man rotation basically and won a World Series, and Luis Gonzalez helped them win that. But now I think you look at it as a 3-man rotation, even though you're going to get to a 4-starter. You look at your top three, you look at, frankly, 3 bullpen arms, because they're so important now. And then you look for the 2 best hitters. Like, how deep is your roster? But more importantly, how impactful are your very best players? And when you look at the Astros, they happen to hit check marks in all 3 of those categories.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, the one place that I'll push back a little bit is I actually think depth of lineup that matters most in that. So it's having quality hitters at as many spots in the lineup as you can gives you the best chance to beat the best pitching. But I don't think you're far off in terms of on the pitching side. If you can have 3 good starters and three A relievers, and then maybe one more swing man that can come from, you know, maybe from the rotation or whatnot to help you in the bullpen during the course of the postseason. I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, I think we probably, you know, we can quibble on the total number of relievers that are really essential if starters are going to go shorter, but I think you're right. And I think that's the part that just gets me is that I don't think people appreciate how good this Astro rotation is. They're freaking out about Verlander, and rightfully so. I mean, like, the guy's a freak, right? He's 39 and he's doing, like, he's got a legit chance to start the All-Star game and probably would be a slam dunk if not for Shane McClanahan's season with the Rays. But, like, Framber Valdez is really freaking good. Luis Garcia is terrific. Christian Javier has been, you know, last start notwithstanding, excellent. And they haven't had a pitch thrown this year from Lance McCullers Jr., who you can safely slot into the second or third spot in that rotation. So I just think that their pitching is so much better than people realize. And I think it's because they're kind of like non-hype names. Or in the case of Valdez, you know, I think he still gets a little bit overlooked because he came to the big leagues as a reliever. And so everybody kind of, is he really a matchup guy? No, I mean, like, this is a really, really good pitching staff.
Mike Farron with us here on ESPN 97.5 MLB Radio Network. He's a host over there. Mike, we've been talking a lot. I don't know where you are. You don't watch him every day, but Jake Myers is doing a nice job in center field. Yuli has struggled this year, and so has, obviously, Maldonado. And those are the three spots that we're looking at for a possible trade. But we hear so much about Contreras possibly coming here. They love Maldonado here. They love Yuli here. And Jake Myers is giving himself a chance here to maybe be the center field. Is there a chance that the Astros just stand pat at the trade deadline?
No. I mean, I think they're going to add. I mean, it's always – every contender is going to add a reliever, right? So there's that. I mean, I think even if you buy into Myers, right, do you want a little bit different complement for him? You know, he's – you know, last year, if I remember right, the splits were pretty good against righties for him, and so he was kind of platooning with Chaz McCormick because McCormick was a little bit better against lefties. He's only, like, 45 plate appearances this year for Myers, so it's coming off the shoulder issue. But, like, even if you believe in Myers as being, you know, part of a platoon there, I think you can upgrade that spot. There's really not going to be a great center fielder that's on the trade market.
No.
I think Ramon Laureano will probably be the best. And I like Laureano a lot. I think he would actually think he'd be a great fit. You know, he's a former Astros prospect.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's probably one of the spots. First base is, I think, a spot that's actually pretty easy to upgrade this year. You know, Josh Bell in Washington is going to be available. I think there's a chance Christian Walker would be available in Arizona. You know, there's probably Trey Mancini in Baltimore might be available as well. So if there's a handful of three or four guys that if Gurriel is struggling, you just bring in another professional hitter that can give you, if not insurance, an upgrade over that position. But I don't see them addressing catcher. I mean, to your point, they love Maldonado, right? Like, his defense is the reason why, you know, one of the reasons why the pitching staff is where it is. I don't see them going out and acquiring a catcher. I think, you know, we can focus on his batting stats as much as we want, but you're not paying Martin Maldonado to hit. You're paying him to run your pitching staff, and he does that as well as anybody in the game.
Yeah. Laureano is a name. I mean, he's a pain in the ass, too, for the Astros. I would love to see him off.
The best way possible,
yeah.
Right? Like, he would be – he's like that kind of guy that, like – what was Ozzie Guillen used to say about AJ Krasinski, right? When he's your – when you play against him, you hate him. When he's your teammate, you hate him a little less. Mm. Like, that's kind of the way Laureano plays.
You know, if you were to get Josh Bell, if you did add a first baseman, it would be interesting because you would have to, at times, you know, play him as a DH, and then you'd have potentially – you'd slide – Kyle Tucker to center field, you'd slide, I guess you would slide, you know, you keep Yordan in left field and then you move Brantley to right, or you'd go Yordan in right, but I haven't seen Yordan ever play any right. So I don't know if you'd do that. So it'd be interesting if they wanted to keep Yuli in the game from time to time, but I really do think, you know, they're not going catcher, as you mentioned. I get the feeling they won't go first base, but I do think outfield will be in consideration, but it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with bullpen, because as you mentioned, it's an arms race in the postseason to get through the entire postseason with your bullpen. But there's something about Dusty. I mean, Dusty Baker seems to have so much confidence in guys that can be a little up and down in his bullpen. It's been like that for the last 2 years, and I don't know if it's changing again this year.
Well, but I think that, you know, that's just the nature of relievers, too. I mean, it, mm-hmm. when your performance is you know, limited to a 15-minute stint, not every 15 minutes of any of our days are all that good, right? So there's going to be days. I mean, that's just part of the nature of it. Listen, I think with Presley, I really like the way Mary's just throwing the ball. I've always been a fan of his. I feel like they've gotten the best version of him, maybe by getting him to back off how much he uses his split as part of that. You know, Maton, Montero's been tremendous. I mean, that was a great pickup, mm-hmm. as it turned out, for a guy who was DFA'd last year by Seattle. So, you know, could they use a lefty in there that can miss some bats? Yeah, I think that's probably a good spot to look. But, you know, you got to remember that you know, Dustin's counting on these guys to help him get through a 162-game season. And you kind of have to count on your whole roster there. But as you pointed out earlier, like, it's going to get shorter. That bullpen is going to get shorter in the postseason. The reason it didn't last year in the postseason for the Astros was they just didn't get much out of their starting pitching, right? So like, if you have a more normal year and you've got Verlander able to go out there and give you 6 or 7 in game one of a playoff series, like, that helps to reset that bullpen usage a little bit, too.
I contend that Odorizzi would be better off if he went to the bullpen, because he ain't making the major. He ain't making the postseason roster as a starter, because he ain't going to be in the top four, that's for sure. And so,
yeah, I mean, I like him. I like him better in the rotation right now, just from the standpoint of, you know, Javier's still pretty young. Garcia's still pretty young. Javier kind of was mostly a reliever last year, right? So you're trying to balance innings there. And Odo's going to give you just kind of a solid start. Like, I'm a little bit biased in this because I know Odo pretty well, and I'm a big fan of him as a person. But I think he's just, you know, he's like a pretty solid number 4 or 5 type starter. And so, yeah, you're right. He might not make the rotation in the postseason and might have to give them length out of the bullpen in the postseason. But I think having him in the rotation for, you know, the bulk of the year, I mean, it's still July 8th. Like, we've got half of the season to go, right? You're going to need his innings over the course of the next 3 months.
Yeah. Well, the way that these guys have been pitching, it's so, I mean, who do you pull? It's unbelievable how well this has gone, and he's been, and he was gone all that time, and it was against, you know, the Mets and the Yankees that they were doing this stuff.
Right.
That's Mike Farron right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike, we really appreciate it. Good talking some baseball with you. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, guys, anytime. Take care.
All right, buddy. There's Mike Farron, Duhawk, Loris Duhawk, right here on ESPN 97.
Loris Duhawk sounds like someone who was drafted in the NHL draft yesterday when you were trying to watch the Rockets and Magic in a summer league game.
Yeah.
Selection, the Tampa Bay Wiggle Rays select.
Tampa Bay
Firehawks select Loris Duhawk from North Saskatchewan. Defenseman with the number 11 pick.
It is.
Loris Duhawk, to me, sounds like he might be from a tribe.
Here's a guy right here
in Wyoming.
And then all of a sudden, the video of him playing defense. That's what you get with this kid right here. Is he's going to be really tough off against the glass. He's competitive in dump and chase situations. You've got a lot of really tough grit in front of the cage, you know, and
really
he's
going
to be able
to
really
of
take
your entire repertoire, repertoire.
I know, you know, he's good with the stick. He's very physical. He's not afraid to mix it up when it comes time to really get nasty in front of the cage. And so he's a good player, I think, right here for the Wiggle Rays. They really got a good, tough defenseman here from Saskatchewan. And most guys from Saskatchewan are tougher.
Yeah, Tampa's the Lightning now. No, not the Wiggle Rays anymore. I don't know if you heard.
Nah, not here. They changed from Wiggle Rays.
They're not the Wiggle Rays anymore. You know who is who's not changing anytime soon? And that's Billy Brown. And that's Aqueduct Plumbing. And I was with Billy this week. As a matter of fact, we hit.
What happened to your hand?
Billy ruined it. He destroyed it. Actually,
what
you want to know
your
the
putting
truth?
Hand?
Yeah, my thumb. He really, really messed it up. But we had a great time. A great time was had by all. And Bill, and you know what? Billy, while he was on the phone, while he was doing it, and you know what? He's just making sure that everything goes smoothly. It's amazing. You know, the people that they love to work for him, he is great. Mary is great. Everybody over there is just so good. And here's the thing is that you have a company that has integrity, and I love that. Because when you get a plumber, you don't know. They could do anything. Listen, it's going to be $70,000. Oh, wow, that sucks. So how do I pay you? Or it could be $300. You don't know. You're not a plumber. These guys, I love that they're going to give you an honest quote, and they're going to come to your home absolutely free.
I love the free quote thing because the other companies out there, they hold that over you, and they try to leverage you. Well, it's $79 if we come out, but we'll apply that to the cost of what we're going to rip you off with later. Well, like, what? I don't want to use you. I want to use Aqueduct. Good. Go to thebenchplumbing.com. That's all you have to do. Go to thebenchplumbing.com or give them a call at 281-488-6238 for a job that's big, a job that's small. You've got Aqueduct Plumbing, 281-488-6238. For more information, go to thebenchplumbing.com.
ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN.
I want to bring this to the show. Are you guys who are listening or girls listening, do you send – so my two of my – oh, so Mason, who's 15, and Alec, who's 17, getting ready to be 18 tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Do y'all send your text messages like they do, just one word, one sentence, send, and then the next one sent? And I'm talking about a compilation of comments. Yes. I want hamburgers, send. And also fries, send. When can we get them? Send. Stop. I hate when I get, my wife does it and two kids do it, where they send messages and it's one word, one small sentence, followed by another bing, small
bing,
sentence.
Bing, 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 bing.
You know what I do? I wrap them all up in one thought.
Yeah.
Send. It's not too long,
get?
Didn't read.
Yes, I want fries. Cheeseburger with fries.
Yeah.
Loaded.
Being, oh, look, it's just one thing that has like two or three thoughts.
Let's
on
eat
it. Good.
At six.
Look at that. Look at that. All that can be done very quickly instead of, I'm hungry, send. I would love a hamburger, send, and fries, send. And also a Dr. Pepper, send. How about Whataburger, send. What time, send. You guys got to tighten it up. You got to tighten it up.
This
we can't
generation.
Be having. If
they
I
can't
had,
put two sentences together.
My son Mason, I had to put him yesterday. I mean, what Alec did the other day was ridiculous.
What is wrong with your kids? He hates Jabari Smith already.
Yeah, he already hates Jabari Smith. He spent the night at a friend's house, and he's texting me at night. Starts at 10:14. Jabari stinks. He has three. I said, he's a little overwhelmed by everything right now. Boncaro looks more comfortable. That's because he's so much better than Jabari. We should have taken Ivy. I said, you're the worst Rockets fan ever. I love Jalen, but I hate Jabari. The kid already hates Jabari Smith. He had played a half, and he hated Jabari. I said, you're a fake Lakers fan. My son decided he was going to be a Lakers fan.
He just
made a decision this year.
I will say this. Sometimes it works out where you're the number three overall pick, and the guy falls to you, like Michael Jordan fell. Mm-hmm. Like, there's plenty of guys that fell to three.
And the other team figures out the best player, and draft him one.
They draft him one.
I know. It's a very real possibility Bankero could be the most dynamic of all the
We
time.
All thought. What we were happy about was that it wasn't Chet, I think, after drafting.
By the way,
and
it's probably going to be pretty good, too.
I'm fine with Jabari. Jabari's going to be fine. Jabari wasn't great last night.
Here's how Mason, I said, you're a fake Lakers fan. We don't even care about your terrible team. And here is what he said. I'm a Lakers fan and Rockets fan. Bing. But Jabari isn't even hustling. Bing. Tari Eason looks 40 times better than him. Bing. And Jabari isn't hustling on defense. Bing. Travel and attack. Bing. These are all one, two. This all got sent to me, and I immediately got my phone. Went Mason, and then
block.
Hide alerts.
Block.
Hide alerts. I should have blocked them. I just put hide alerts. So now when you send me stuff, it doesn't bing, nothing.
No. Oh, God.
So when you send your 20 messages in a row, like your mom does.
Ooh, wow. That's what now she does we got too. A little war going on.
That's what, she's, what she does. You know what? Gather your thoughts, send it in 1 to 2 texts max. I don't need 7 texts.
You see?
Text messages. There's I don't a, need 7 back to back to back. Like bing, 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 bing. Like, if I want that kind of noise, I'll go to a casino and play slots.
Seems like.
Bing, 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 bing. How about one thing and just bing? That's it. All your business is on that text.
Seems like there's a frustration in this family going here. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. Man, taking it out on the radio.
Mason
this sounds like a like radar detector.
Tweet. No, it's not the same.
It's different?
It's not the same, but it is an issue for me. I don't like when I have to hear a billion bings or vibrations in my pocket. But if you're going to do that, I'll tell you when to do it.
Okay.
When I'm by myself and no one's at home. Then you, hey, fire off that 50 tweets text in a row.
Put my phone in my front pocket. All right, 827 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Machine gun texting. That's what it is. Machine gun texting.
Did you? Oh, we got to find out if you ever found your frisbee yesterday. We will do that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, we got to talk about John Claypool. Oh, I didn't give you his number, did I? I got to send you his number, RJ. Yeah. Well, John Clay Wolf, he's not going to be on today. But if you're a John Clay Wolf fan, he's on tomorrow. And he's got his radio show tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And it is fun. Oh, it's you're going to be like, that's interesting that you would say something like that, John Clay Wolf, because I didn't think you could say that anymore on the radio. He does that all the time. It's what John Clay Wolf does. But John Clay Wolf also, while he's sitting in a studio, maybe in L.A. or Dallas or Chicago, wherever he is, you are in another state. Let's say you're in Houston, and you call him, and he's in L.A., and you tell him, I've got a 2015 Tahoe, okay, with 37,000 miles on it, which means you didn't drive it too much. And he could tell you what it's worth. That's how ridiculous this guy is. That's how well he knows this business. That's how well. And he says, well, will that get a ton? And you're like, not really. I think I can get more for it. All right. Well, send me a picture of it and let's talk about it. And you can sit down and work it out with him. That's what John Clay Wolf does. And John Clay Wolf is really, really good at it. What you need to do if you need to sell your car, givemethevin.com. That's givemethevin.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:33, Astros win yesterday. Justin Verlander with his 11th win. Justin Verlander now on pace to start the All-Star game. And I think when you got a 13.5 game lead, you can do these kind of things. If they're in the middle of a pennant race and, you're like, hey, Seattle's right on our heels and you're going to start Jake Odorizzi instead of Justin Verlander on his regular rest, what are you doing? Nah, give him a couple of days. Let Justin Verlander start Thursday. Let him start again, I think, next Tuesday, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah, he'll start again next Tuesday, and then he'll be right in line. It'll all rework out that he can start in the All-Star game. On 6 days rest, actually. So that'll work out just perfect. And, you know, where are you on staying with the 6-man rotation so Justin Verlander is healthy, is strong come postseason?
It may surprise people. I hope Jake pitches better in the second game than the first. I think there's a pretty good chance he will. I'm okay with it. I think, I don't love the idea of a 6-man rotation from just the standpoint of winning as many games as possible and having home field advantage for as you know, give yourself the best opportunity to have home field advantage throughout. I think that's important. I know the Astros can win on the road. I've seen them do it in the postseason. I'm not worried about that, but I do think that you give yourself the best chance to have home field advantage, and I'm not sure that's the best way with a six-man rotation. With that said, the Astros are like the Spurs now. You've been there quite a few times, and your ultimate goal is not to get there, it's to win it. And so if the best chance to win in the postseason and win a World Series is finding ways to get some rest for Justin Verlander or maybe the rest of your starting pitching staff who tends to go deeper than the other starting pitching staffs out there, then if that gives you the best chance, it gives you the best chance. The only thing that matters is ultimately winning a World Series.
That's it.
I mean, that's ultimately the only thing that matters. Six-man rotation helps you do that in a way, then that should trump my feelings about a pitcher who's not as good, you know, taking starts away from better pitchers.
I thought he was, in 19, I thought he was wasted because of the no-hitter that he threw, the 300 strikeouts. It was just like he was just spent by the end of the year, and it showed in the World Series. He's actually going to start next Thursday at Los Angeles. So he's going to have 6 days of rest. They've got an off day on Monday, and then they're going to throw the six-man rotation. So he's going to actually sit for 6 days. He'll throw Thursday. Then he'll have 4 days off, and he can start the All-Star game on his regular, if it's a four-man rotation rest or five-man rotation rest. So he can, you know, he'll have his 4 days, and then he can start the All-Star game. Or, well, we'll see. I mean, Shane McClanahan is having a nice year, like Mike Farron alluded to. He ain't Justin Verlander. He's Shane McClanahan, okay? Slow down on Shane McClanahan starting the All-Star game. This is Justin Verlander. And we were talking about, you know, possibly Albert Pujols the other day being a commissioner's addition for legend, you know, a legend edition at the All-Star game. And we were trying to think of a guy, and Joel came up with Miguel Cabrera. How perfect would it be for Miggy, who got his 3,000th hit this year? How perfect would it be for Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols to be legends of the game? That would be great. That would be great. And you should have And you should have a legend starting the game. That legend is Justin Verlander.
You think always let a legend start the game?
No, but Justin Verlander deserves
He's not a legend. He's a starter.
Whoa, Justin Verlander is... No.
To me, the legend is...
But Justin Verlander is a Hall of Famer already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the legend is the guy who's not a Hall of Famer, for what he's accomplished over the years.
And no, but Justin Verlander is a guy who deserves to start.
Yeah, that would be
Cabrera. And he's a legend.
And you know what?
He could have Shane McClanahan.
You could have one who's a pitcher or a hitter. More than likely, it's usually going to be... But, you know, you'd also like to know that player is... maybe on the way out, and you're not always gonna see that. But it would be cool to have Cabrera. I think this is gonna be Greinke's last year. It'd be cool to have Greinke at an All-Star game. I don't think, based on how he's pitching right now, it's hard to assume that Greinke. Did they sign him to a 2-year deal?
I think so.
I think they did. So he won't be gone.
Yeah, Miguel Cabrera would be a great choice, though. Miguel Cabrera at the All-Star game with the. But Justin Verlander deserves to start. Don't make the argument. I mean, that Shane McClanahan. I know he's unbelievable. It's just awesome. Congratulations, Shane McClanahan. Guess what?
No. It's 1 year. Greinke's $13 million this year.
That's it.
So having Greinke at something like that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, for what he was in the major leagues, he's not that this year. But you could throw him to.
But if you're only going to have one, though, it would be Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah. If you're only going to have one per league, yeah.
But this thing about Shane McClanahan, it is just to me, it's just ridiculous that there's no argument. Shane McClanahan has done this for 1 year. Okay. Justin Verlander is already a Hall of Famer. So Justin Verlander needs to be the guy that would start the All-Star game and not Shane McClanahan. All right. Let's get that. Out of the way right here. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here.
Can I ask you a question? Where did the Juan Soto is going to be an Astro stuff start? I know it's been going around for a while, for at least a month, maybe 5 weeks. Where was what was the starting point for that? Where people started throwing Soto out as an Astro and potentially going to the Astros in a trade.
I probably started that.
Okay. All right. That might make some sense. I can tell you it picked up steam because a lot of people have talked about it over time. Like, supposedly the Astros are rumored to be looking at Juan Soto. Do you know, RJ?
No, I don't. I don't want to backtrack a little bit, but we were talking just a tiny bit before the show and talking about the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. And I would want to ask you guys, do you believe that the MLB has the best All-Star game kind of structure out of all sports, or would there be a way that you would want to improve it? Would this be a way that it improves that you bring in one legend to be in, or do you just think overall the MLB is the best All-Star?
No, game? I think MLB has the best advantage. It's mid-season. Them and basketball are the same. They've got a weekend. Major League Baseball has the basketball. The headliner for basketball used to be the dunk contest, and everyone was too cool for school, so they the best dunkers are. Well, they don't always have the best dunkers in. You have some of the best players, the one most exciting players that people want to watch. They are not even in the dunk contest because it's considered beneath them. And that's been going on like that for a long time. It's almost like if you're in a dunk contest, you're lesser. But that's why a lot of stars don't do it. And I think they like to party on Saturday. I think they like to be in the stands dressed up and just hanging out. Baseball has an advantage because the Home Run Derby, all they really have that really matters, there's some other events, but the Home Run Derby, you have guys who are participating in the All-Star game or who are in the Home Run Derby. And then you have, the game itself, these guys only get a certain amount of time that they're going to play, so they're all competing as hard as they can. So that's the biggest advantage is baseball is going to have a competitive game. Or they're going to try to compete at a high level for all nine innings. And you have, even though it's in the weekend itself, or not even a weekend, the All-Star break, you do have the Home Run Derby. With basketball, it's great too. It's just different. It's a huge event. There's a showcase event for first-year and second-year players. There's a three-point shootout. There is a skills. There is a celebrity basketball game, which brings in a lot of different people. There is the dunk contest. There are the parties. And there is the game, which, I mean, nobody has the pregame festivities and the halftime festivities. Basketball is off the charts. It's an entire giant extravaganza. Baseball's probably got the best event because it's more competitive inning by inning by inning, where basketball, I do like some of the changes basketball's made to make it more competitive. The changes in the way they play the game. Some of you would be blown away. If you haven't watched an NBA All-Star game, when's the last time you watched an NBA All-Star game?
Don't they do, like, if you score up to 100, you get, like, 75 what is, what points, is, what's 25 the points in a quarter?
I'm trying to remember what 25
yeah,
so points
now
in a
it's
quarter.
Like, yeah, it's now supposed to be something like you're supposed to get to a set number. They took this away from like the basketball tournament they give you like a set number in the fourth. They say if you reach this number, you win.
See, that's why baseball's the best because it's not even close because you actually play you can play defense in baseball. Where nobody plays defense.
No, everyone's trying
basketball
hard on
or
every
football. Yeah.
Because you may only get one at-bat, so you want to be as good as you can possibly be.
And you're in the field. If you can make a diving play, you make a diving play. I mean, you're still going to play as hard as you do.
The worst, without question, football, it's at the end of the year.
It sucks.
No one wants to play. No one wants to be there. No one wants to get injured. They all love to be there for the, actual, like, going to Hawaii
well,
stuff.
Well, yeah,
really
but
cool.
They're not even doing that anymore.
I know.
But why do you feel like, in both of your guys' opinion, why do you feel like the older, sages of athlete – when it came to the Pro Bowl, they say, hey, we took it serious. This was an opportunity.
Yeah, you said Warren Sapp said that, huh?
Yeah, so like Warren Sapp was saying things like that. I heard, back in Jacksonville, Leon Searcy said, hey, we took it serious if we were going to Hawaii. So why isn't it the same now? Is it just
the
because
amount
of brand?
Money that, money. Probably the amount of money that's out there. And also Edwards, the running back from New
Georgia.
England Patriots.
Georgia. And New
from
England.
Georgia, yeah. Yeah.
He did that on the beach though.
Yeah, it wasn't even in the game. But I think nobody wants to be nobody wants to be that guy who loses a year, or he, Robert Edwards blew out his knee playing flag football game in the sand in Hawaii. So he escaped the injury without having his leg amputated, barely below the knee, and was told that he may not walk again. That was a game changer, because I think a lot of players after that said, I'm just gonna slow my roll here on this, on how much I'm gonna exert myself. But to the Pro Bowl's credit, they figured out skills challenges, things like that. John and I used to have this conversation that we wanted to be more like a TV show that we used to watch when we were younger called Superstars, where they gathered the very best athletes or whatever from different types of sports, and then they would have, you know, you'd have bicycling on a track, you might have 400 meters, you might have swimming events, things like that. Well, now they're doing passing events, and I think it's cool that Pro Bowl's figured out it should just be skill stuff. It's not, the game doesn't matter to anybody. It didn't really matter to us. I haven't watched a Pro Bowl football game on purpose for over a decade because I don't care. You don't care. Mm-mm. I don't care.
Mm-mm.
The players don't care at all. They're not even going to try. I don't care either. And I'm not blaming them. It's cool. Hey, you guys play a long, hard, arduous schedule. It'd be awesome if we could see an all-star game of football. Like, it'd be really cool if everyone tried hard and Aaron Rodgers is throwing to, he's got Tyreek Hill over here, and he's got, you know, or, you know, I guess it'd be Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins are his two wide receivers.
No, he's in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, if you did AFC, NFC, and then look at this, you've got Justin Herbert's throwing to Tyreek Hill and...
And Devontae Adams.
And Devontae Adams. Can you imagine that? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
To watch a football game like that.
Oh, no. If it was, yeah.
Quentin Nelson's matching up against Aaron Donald, and you've got, you know, your Derrick Henry is trying to roll downhill on the NFC's defense behind Quentin Nelson at left guard and, you know, whoever at left tackle. I don't know.
No, it's
not. It's too physical a sport.
Yeah, no. 846 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:51 on ESPN 97.5. We got robbed. We've been robbed of today's Nadal Kyrgios
final
matchup.
I mean, semifinal. Yeah. Poor Rafa. Rafa played through injury the other day. It was a gut. And now that you know that he had to withdraw from Wimbledon, it just lets you know how that is one tough SOB.
Yep.
That he made it through his match against Fritz and won in a 5-set tiebreaker. Just unbelievable that he was able to pull through that. But, yeah, Rafa, who's probably the most entertaining tennis player that we've seen, maybe ever, the way he can chase everything down, the guts he shows, versus just a super talented, hard-serving, loudmouth New Zealander in Kyrgios. Yeah, it's too bad. Now Kyrgios will go to the finals, presumably against Djokic, and I'll be watching. I'm interested to watch. Kyrgios he's a fun watch, dude. He is super talented.
Yeah. I wanted to see more of Fritz.
The American?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's his girl?
Yeah. Did you watch the match the other day?
Yeah, I did.
Every other point, they went straight to her.
I did watch it.
The cameras went straight to her.
That's not what she looked like.
Yeah.
That's not Wimbledon in the background.
Yeah.
She probably had to dress. Yeah. She probably had to dress more. Oh yeah, they did show. I do remember seeing her now.
Yeah. Point after point after point.
Good God. Imagine that. A pretty boy tennis player who's in his early 20s is pulling that.
Yeah. I just miss him on the tour. I'm not going to miss any more of his matches, though. That's for sure. Yeah, that's what you saw all time and time again.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
he's
beautiful.
Got a beautiful girlfriend.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Got to be girlfriend, not wife at this age.
No, it's a girlfriend. It's a girlfriend. But yeah, that's what I'll miss most about this Wimbledon.
Hey, a couple of talented young. We found out there's a couple talented. Well, we found out those of us who don't watch tennis on a regular basis found out there's a couple good young tennis players on the men's side.
Yeah,
actually may have a chance to start moving forward and having some guys who are competitive in the majors, in the slam events.
So, well, I mean, he made it to the quarters, right? So good on him. And you know, he's living his best life. It looks like to me. So good on him. We did get robbed of Rory McIlroy at the Scottish Open. For some reason, he's not there. Some guys are. I mean, going into the British Open, the Open Championship next week. Scottie Scheffler not playing well. Matsuyama not playing well. We got some big names that are really struggling out there. +5 Will Zalatoris, but Will Zalatoris always plays great. It doesn't matter if it's a major. Will Zalatoris is going to play great. I'm torn on whether or not to take him the way he's playing this week. He sucks. Stop sucking, Will Zalatoris. Anyway, so that is happening out there in the world of golf that you don't care about. Cameron Tringale is 9-under. Hey, 9-under.
Yo, Cammy Tringale.
Yeah.
Have you started watching a bear yet?
Uh-huh. We go through five episodes already.
Carmi, you got the cousin who's not a real cousin?
Yeah.
Do Italians do that when... Y'all call each other cousins, but you may not be a cousin? Or you're usually in the family?
But usually you're in the family. You know,
yeah, you got big families, too.
Yeah, but if somebody's, like, part of the family, you're still, hey, cousin.
Kind of like Richie.
Yeah.
Richie's such a loudmouth.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, why can't they just get along, everybody?
I'm just surprised they didn't tell Richie to beat it after two seasons, like two episodes. Just like, you got to go. You're fired. You can't stay here. The screaming in the kitchen, and people who work at restaurants are like, that's pretty accurate to our representation.
Does everybody call each other chef?
Yes.
At Papacito's, people wish everybody was chef?
My son's fiance, she is the executive
or
chef.
Or Jeff, like the one woman says, hey, Jeff.
She does have the Puerto Rican lady.
Yeah.
Calls him Jeff, yeah. But my son's fiance, Drake's fiance, is an executive chef at a place called Mozambique. And she went to CIA. Yeah, it's chef. It's always been, yes, chef. Sometimes, same thing in coach. Like, yeah. Bill Yeomi used to call everyone coach.
Yeah.
A lot of football guys would call people coach. It's just a term of endearment, respect, whatever the case may be.
Right.
Beyond chef, if you are, you know, if you're working in a restaurant, they consider, you're chef.
Yeah.
Sometimes you call them cooks, chef. But, yeah, yes, chef. Heard chef. That's always a term.
Yep.
That means when you say something, it shows you. I acknowledge what you said. Right. Heard. Just say heard. Yes, chef. They bring all the restaurant. Whoever wrote that. I've seen the guy's name. He definitely has a big background in restaurants because he brought all the restaurant. I know a lot of the stuff from doing a food show for about 5 years, Southbound Food with Brian Caswell. It's a lot of restaurant culture they brought into that. And the acting's really good. The main guy, Carmi?
Yeah.
I didn't watch Shameless. I guess he was Shameless.
See it either.
But, man, that guy is a good, like, I think everyone's well cast and it's really well acted too.
Yeah, really good. Really good. No, it's a good show. So that's something that it's on Hulu for those of you.
Yeah,
that
you can
don't
find
know.
It on Hulu, the whole thing.
Hulu.
Better Call Saul starts July 11th.
11th. Let's go.
The end of
the list is it. This is the last one. This is it. 713-780-3776, the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 or 92.5.
By the way, I didn't finish watching Ozark because I didn't want to be a spoiler for how Better Call Saul ends with those same
it's
the mean
different.
Cousins
not the
to kill everybody.
Not really the same.
Is it the same character that
not
kills everybody?
Thing. Nope.
Yeah, see, I don't want to ruin the. I don't want to ruin the show.
It's a little different. Little bit different. 857 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.